Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Hi there, Maureen.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the Republican whip in the Rhode Island House of Representatives, Blake Phillippe of Block Island. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Governor Gina Raimondo sounded an upbeat message in her State of the State speech this week. She says more work needs to be done, but that Rhode Island is headed in the right direction. Of course, this all takes place against the backdrop of an election year. Republicans like Cranston Mayor Alan Fung and House GOP leader Patricia Morgan paint a darker picture of Rhode Island, and they say Raimondo is not getting the job done. Rep. Phillippe, do you give Governor Raimondo any credit for the economic improvements that we've seen in Rhode Island's economy?
I think, yes, I think she's owed some recognition for it. I think the recovery has been kind of weak, though. A lot of the jobs that have been created since the recession here in Rhode Island are low-paying jobs. They're not the high-paying and upper-middle-class jobs we need. And I think a lot of that has to do with the hostile business climate in the state and the tax burden and in many respects the inefficiency of government.
Well, the governor has had a string of job announcements touting jobs coming that pay more attractive salaries. But let me ask you, what was your broader reaction to the governor's State of the State speech?
I think we heard a campaign speech. I was disappointed that some of the problems with state government weren't addressed, specifically UHIP, the $260 million deficit we face next year. And it was interesting that she didn't comment on the Paul Sox, which I think is one of the more important issues that is before the legislature right now.
Scott, what did you make out of those omissions in the governor's speech?
I think that's what you do with a State of the State speech. It's the one time of the year where the governor, particularly in an election year, has the luck, in a way, of getting out there. It's traditional. Republicans and Democrats both do the same thing, of getting out there and basically putting her and her administration's best face forward to the state without the filter of the opposition or the media, frankly, and with apologies to Charles Dickens. She said this is the best of times here in Rhode Island, the governor, and, of course, Republican candidates Mayor Fung and Leader Morgan tried to paint this as the worst of times since they're Republicans and they want to be able to run against her.
Maureen, is the glass half full or half empty in Rhode Island?
Well, I think that's the question. And obviously, the governor is talking about it being half full and on its way up. And it's incumbent upon the Republicans to say the other. But it's interesting to me how many specific policies that they agree on. In other words, is there, for example, a block in the legislature that's going to support Patricia Morgan? Are you all behind her in terms of running for governor? In other words, as the opposition, where do you come down on some of the opposite proposals?
Some of Leader Morgan's proposals,
yeah,
or
sure,
some of the governor's proposals she put forward?
No, I'm talking about the opposition.
I support the vast majority of them. I think we need an inspector general.
Mm-hmm.
The line item veto, I'm glad the governor endorsed it last night. That's been a Republican proposal for years. Zero-based budgeting is something that we believe in, that every department has to come in every year and justify their budget that they're requesting. I don't think the tangible personal property tax, these microphones that we're speaking in are probably taxed. You have to pay an inventory tax on your equipment. If we're trying to boost manufacturing in this state, let's stop taxing people on the things they need to run their business.
Isn't the governor doing something like that? Isn't she supporting more small business loans and trying to alleviate regulations and taxes on those areas?
I think the Office of Regulatory Reform has eliminated a lot of regulations, and that's great. I like the small business loan program. I'm more of a free marketeer who says, let's give relief to everybody instead of picking and choosing, whether that's small businesses we pick and choose or whether that's large out-of-state corporations that we give subsidies to. I think we need to reform everything and create an even playing field. And that's how you, I think, generate a robust economy.
Rep. Phillippe, another question on the governor's race. You seem closely linked with Leader Morgan in the Rhode Island House. You became the minority whip when you switched from independent to Republican in 2016 and joined Patricia Morgan on her leadership team. So are you supporting her for governor? And if so, how does she get past Alan Fung, who is perceived by some as the front runner on the Republican side?
Yeah, Patricia Morgan is Rhode Island's Iron Lady. I've known her for 15 years. I think she's wonderful. I unequivocally support her for governor. Alan Fung is also my friend. I think we have two qualified candidates. How does she get by? How does she win? I think she takes her message of reform and that she's a fighter And she brings that to the people. And I think that's what we need in the state is someone with Patricia's mindset, limited government, free markets, and someone who's not afraid, who's tenacious.
There's also a stream of kind of puritanical rhetoric to her campaign. No marijuana, no gambling, no paw socks. It's kind of, I don't know, it reminds me of the 1950s and a kind of restricted view of what life in Rhode Island should be about. What do you think about that?
I don't agree. Actually, at the press conference, she said that she's not necessarily opposed to gambling. She may have opposition to marijuana. I think her perspective was that we shouldn't be making very important social decisions about how we are as a society based on economic problems that we're facing. We shouldn't start legalizing vice just because we got to fill a budget hole. You know, the question as to whether we should do that should stand on its own.
Well, Rep, yes, but the fact is that Massachusetts legalizing marijuana, two-thirds of Rhode Island's population lives within about a 10 or 15-minute drive. The only way you're going to stop this is to create something libertarians hate, which is basically a militarized police state society. There's no way you're going to stop people from driving a Seekonk, buying their marijuana over in Massachusetts, Massachusetts getting the tax benefit of that, and then bringing the marijuana back to Rhode Island to use it for their own personal use. And I don't understand why Rhode Island is so reluctant to legalize marijuana.
I'm on record supporting the legalization of it. I think her comments were that we shouldn't always look at, does this give us more money? Yes, do it. I think she takes more of a pragmatic viewpoint and looks at the implications of policies more holistically than whether we can make a buck off it.
Well, we can't let you go, Rep. Phillippe, without talking about the paw socks, our perennial issue in Rhode Island. You share the view of House Speaker Mattiello that most Rhodeanders oppose the use of public funding for the new stadium in Pawtucket. Would you be more comfortable with the paw socks leaving Rhode Island, perhaps to go to Worcester, rather than supporting the deal that's on the table?
I don't support the deal that's on the table. I don't want them to go to Worcester. I think that would be a big loss for the state. But on the flip side, I don't think we should take a deal that's not in the taxpayers' best interest or puts us at risk to stop them from going to Worcester. I've long advocated for a TIF. It would be a one-page bill that says, Paw Sox owners, you take out the loan. Any new taxes we get that you're promising us we're going to get from your studies, take that incremental tax increase and pay down the private debt with it. I think it's about $2.1 million a year. And I actually think that would dramatically assist their ability to get bonding, knowing that they have this guaranteed revenue stream.
Scott, is there an alternative such as what Rep. Phillippe is talking about other than the deal that's on the table or the Paw Sox going?
You could tweak the deal a little bit, but here's basically what's going to happen. We don't want to lose them, I don't think. It's a psychic blow to the state. And as the rep indicated, we do lose about $2 million a year in tax revenue if they head over the border to Massachusetts.
A final word here to Maureen.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, and I look forward to Representative Phillippe's input.
All right, that's all the time we have on Political Roundtable. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And the second ranking Republican in the Rhode Island House of Representatives, Whip Blake Phillippe of Block Island.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. And as usual, you can find more details on our website at ripr.org.